Today's reading is taken from Romans 12, verses 1 to 13. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This is the word of the Lord.
For those of you who may not know me, my name is Nicola. I'm married to Graham, and we've been part of the family here at St. Giles for the past 2.5 years. And it's a great privilege to be able to share with you from God's word this morning. We're in the middle, as some of you will know, of a series looking at unpacking or unwrapping what it means to be God's people together. Last month we looked at faith unwrapped in our homes, in workplaces, and out in the world. And this month we've been looking at discipleship unwrapped. So 2 weeks ago, Steve talked about us giving our all. And then last week, we were looking at giving our treasure. This week, we're looking at giving our talents, or at least that's the title I was given. But if I say to you the word talent, I wonder what springs to mind. Maybe it's something you're particularly good at. Or maybe if you know your Bibles, it's the parable of the talents that Jesus told. But I guess that for many of us, what might spring to mind is a talent contest. Like, Britain's Got Talent. Yes. No, don't worry. I'm not about to give you a microphone and ask you to come and sing and dance at the front. But the point is that for many of us, the word talent brings to mind competition. Whose act is the best? Who's got the most talent? But that's definitely not what this morning's Bible reading is about, which is why we might need to give a different title to today's talk, and we'll come to that in a minute. You see, Paul's writing to Christians in Rome who've kind of fallen into the competition trap. Paul has probably never met most of these Christians, but he's heard about them. And he knows that amongst the believers in Rome, there are both those from a Jewish background and those from a non-Jewish background or Gentile background. And apparently they have been arguing about the way that they should live as Christians, whether it's better to be a Jewish Christian or a Gentile Christian, who's right on certain matters and who is wrong. And Paul's writing this letter not to one congregation, but to all the Christians in Rome who probably met in different small house churches. But his message to them is all the same. Paul spends the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans explaining how God in his righteousness has been at work through history creating a people for himself. How God has worked through a special people, the Jews, but how his purpose was always to bless all the nations of the earth. So Paul reminds them that God, in his great mercy, has brought both Jews and Gentiles together into the same family to be his people. He doesn't have two kinds of people, but one. He doesn't have two kinds of church, but one. He's preparing them together to be the bride for his son. So after 11 chapters of the book of Romans, Paul finally reaches the climax of what he wants to say to them. And here in verse 12, he talks about being united. He urges them to be united as God's church and to give of themselves together. This isn't about competition. It's about recognizing that they're one body, one family in Christ, and that they all need to play their part for the good of the whole. So I think maybe we could call this talk pooling our talents, or perhaps even better, giving together. So what does Paul have to say to the Christians in Rome and to us about living and giving together? Well, I think there are three things I want to highlight. He calls us to give together as a living sacrifice. And secondly, he calls us to give together as members of one body. And then thirdly, he calls us to give together as a loving family. So let's start with a living sacrifice. And just so that you know, and Steve knows, I'm going to spend most of the time on this one, and then a bit less time on a growing body, and less time on a loving family, just so you know. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 are some of the most well-known verses in the whole of this letter. And before we would get on to what Paul has to say about gifts and giving, we need to take a look at what he says in these verses. So let's read together again, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Two things to notice about this verse. First of all, Paul talks about giving our bodies. And that may surprise us, because we often talk about giving our hearts to Jesus, don't we? Or giving our lives to Jesus. But we don't like to talk so much in church, I think, about our bodies. For some of us, I think that may be because we don't actually get on very well with our bodies. We may not like the way our body looks, or we may feel that our body doesn't quite work as well as it ought to, especially those of us who are getting older. But that's not how God sees us. When Paul talks about giving our bodies, he's talking about our whole selves. We are whole people, body, mind, and spirit or soul. And God wants us to make our whole selves available to him. You remember doing the hokey-cokey? You put your whole self in. That's what God is looking for, our whole selves in. It's also important that Paul talks about our bodies, because what we do with our bodies matters to God. Elsewhere, Paul talks about taking care of our bodies and about making sure that we only use them for the things that please God. He says in his letter to the Corinthians, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." So Paul talks about bodies, and he talks about us being a living sacrifice. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And here's the first reminder that we're in this together, that Paul is encouraging the Christians in Rome and encouraging us to be giving together. Notice that he talks about bodies, plural, but he only talks about one living sacrifice that the whole church of God is called to make to him. God is making one people for himself, and together we're called to be a living sacrifice to him. I wonder what is the biggest sacrifice you've ever had to make. Just stop and think about that for a moment. Maybe it involved giving something up, or maybe it involved giving your time and energies for someone or something else. And those sacrifices are very real, and they can be costly. But for first century Jewish believers, the notion of sacrifice would have conjured up something quite different. When the Jews brought their regular sacrifices in Old Testament times, it would involve killing animals and sprinkling their blood on the altar. It was a messy business, and it involved complete and irrevocable giving over and death. And Jesus on the cross sacrificed himself, the Lamb of God, for the sins of the world. He suffered and died for us. So what does Paul mean when he talks about living sacrifices? Can a sacrifice be living? Well, yes, when God calls us, he doesn't necessarily expect that we are going to be giving our lives, although he asks us to be prepared to do that. Paul talks elsewhere about being focused on knowing Christ and living for him. So being a living sacrifice is about giving ourselves over to God completely, laying down our lives for him to take up and use as he wills. It means offering God every day, our everyday lives, to him, our relationships, our workplaces, our regular activities. It is, says Paul, our only logical response to God's great mercies to us. And such an act of worship is holy and pleasing to God. It's costly, it's not easy, but it's what discipleship is really all about. A.W. Tozer, a famous Christian writer, said, "If you will not worship God 7 days a week, you do not worship him 1 day a week." So what does that look like, and how can we really do it? Well, let's have a look at verse 2 and read this together. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Do not conform, but be transformed. That came out very clearly as the passage was read to us this morning. One commentator puts it this way: Rather than letting the world squeeze us into its mould, we allow Christ to shape us into his likeness. So how can we resist being shaped by the world around us? Well, I don't know if you've been in the doctor's surgery lately and seen a poster on the wall that says something like this: if you can't change it, change how you think about it. It's an encouragement to those who may be struggling with mental health. How we think about things makes a difference to the way we behave and the way we live. In other words, Paul is saying, as Christians, we need to think differently. How do we do that? Well, we need to keep reminding ourselves of the bigger picture. We need to feed our minds daily on God's word. We need to encourage each other and remind each other of who we are. And we need to keep on every day asking God to fill us with his Holy Spirit and to use us for his glory. So Paul calls us to be giving together as part of one great living sacrifice to God, that we would be his people and allow him to use us as he wills. And secondly, Paul talks about us giving together as a growing body. I wonder if you can, if you find it easy to do, just stand up in your seat and have a stretch. Okay, then you can sit back down again when you've had a stretch. A, that's woken you up, and B, it's a reminder that our bodies are made to be active. It's not good for them to sit all the time. Perhaps I should have called this an active body, because that's what God calls us to be. But I think if we're being active in the way that he wants, we will also be growing, both in depth and in number. A few weeks ago, Graham pulled something in his back, and it made life incredibly difficult for him. There were several mornings that week where I had to get down and put his socks and shoes on. And when you haven't been putting anybody else's socks and shoes on for a while, you realise it's quite difficult, especially if they've got big feet. When one bit of our body isn't working properly, it can throw the whole of our body out. And Paul often uses this image of the body to talk about how we're to function together as his people. We're all different, but we all belong together and we need each other if we're going to work together as God planned. And that's where our different gifts come in. So Paul reminds us that we have all been given gifts from God. And that means there's no reason for us to be proud of the gifts that we have, nor is there any reason to think that we don't have anything to offer. Because the fact is, God has given all of us gifts to be used in his body. It's not a competition, remember. We've all got gifts that are be used to serve the body and to work together. Paul says elsewhere, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Everybody has a part to play. Paul has different lists of gifts in different letters that he writes to different churches, but here, there's a list of 7 gifts, and they're all to do with building up the body. He talks about prophecy, not necessarily foretelling something, but speaking out the truth that God has spoken to someone or to a particular situation. He talks about serving, which can be in a variety of different ways. He talks about teaching in different situations. Encouraging, which is so important for all of us, isn't it? We all need to be encouraged. He talks about giving, and last week we spoke about giving our treasure. Some people have a particular gift and resources for sharing generously. Leading, Again, that can be in many different situations and contexts. But Paul says if we have that gift, we're to do it diligently, faithfully, and showing mercy, not grudgingly, but cheerfully responding to those who are in need. I wonder what your gift is. The implication actually is that each of us probably has one of these gifts in this list given for building up the body. So I wonder if you could just talk to your neighbour for a minute as you look at this list and see if you can identify a gift that you think God has given you. And just share with that person whether you are actually using it at the moment, and if so, how, or how you would like to use it if you aren't already. So you've got a minute just to share with your neighbour. What's your gift and how are you using it? I hope that was a helpful exercise. Perhaps for some of you it was clearer than for others of you. Maybe you know what your gift is, or maybe you're not so sure. Well, as Steve said earlier, over the next 6 or 7 weeks, the hub is going to be looking together at the shape that God has made us, the skills and passions he's given us, the experiences he's built into our lives, and the ways that he might want to use us more fully to serve him. So I'd encourage you to consider whether you might like to become and be a part of that course and discover more about yourself and how God has put you together and how you might be able to serve him more effectively with the gifts he's given you. Notice that Paul does talk about gifts and not talents. Partly, I think, to remind us that they've been given to us, given by God. They may be things that come naturally to us, but they may be things that are specifically given by the Spirit of God, spiritual gifts to be used as God leads us. And as disciples of Jesus, this is part of our giving. It's part of our discipleship to use the gifts that God's given to serve him and to serve others. Maybe in our homes and in our workplaces, maybe in our neighbourhoods, and maybe also to build up the body of Christ, serving one another so that we can grow together as his people and demonstrate his life and his love to the world around us. So we're to give as a living sacrifice, as a growing active body, and finally, as a loving family. Paul reminds us, as he's often so keen to do, that we can't do anything without love. If we're to be a living sacrifice that's holy and pleasing to God, if we're to be an active, growing body, then we need to love each other. That was Jesus' commandment to his disciples, wasn't it? Love one another as I have loved you. It's not just about smiling and being friendly on a Sunday morning, though obviously that is important, especially as we welcome people in. But it's about genuine love. The kind of love that is willing to speak the truth to help other people grow in holiness. The kind of love that is devoted to each other, like committed members of a family, ready to put ourselves out for each other and to love each other as much as we love ourselves. It's about honouring one another, remembering that all the gifts we have come from God, and praising him for the gifts that he has given other members of the family as well as ourselves, encouraging each other to use his gifts. And that we're to be zealous in serving God and serving other people. And notice how Paul especially talks about sharing with people who are in need and practicing hospitality. It's so encouraging to see how we are putting into practice this kind of love in action as a church family. I'm thinking of Saturday for Seniors, which happened yesterday, welcoming those who can be isolated and lonely. I'm thinking of the well-being cafe that some of us celebrated yesterday as we thought about how to minister to those with mental health needs. I'm thinking of our outreach to students and the Ministry of Fish offering hospitality to students coming from overseas. And I'm also thinking of our home groups, which aim to support and encourage our members to grow in faith and in the outworking of their discipleship in every aspect of our lives. Perhaps you are already involved in one of those, but if not, perhaps you would be interested to be involved in these or other ministries that you see going on in the life of St. Giles. If you would, then please come and talk to Steve or Maggie or to one of the church wardens after the service. It would be great to help you to find the place that you fit and where you can serve and give as part of this loving family. So just to conclude, we started off by thinking about giving our talents, but we've seen that it's not about competition, it's about the pooling of our resources, using the gifts that God's given each of us, offering our whole selves, all that we have and all that we are, to Him. This is what discipleship is really all about. This is what it means for us to be giving together, as a living sacrifice, as a growing body, as a loving family. What will our response be? What will your response be? At the end of every communion service, we pray these words together, which are taken from the verses we began with. We offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Let's pray together. Lord, that is our prayer, that you will take us, the whole of us, all of us, and that you will help us together to be giving ourselves as a living sacrifice to you. We pray that you will be helping us to grow together as a body, as each person is enabled and freed to use their gifts. Thank you, Lord, for the generosity with which you pour out your gifts upon us. We pray that you will teach us to use them in love, to build one another up, and so that we may bring glory to you. For Jesus' sake, amen.